Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, nice long segment here so you can get in. Coach AJ is here. Listen, we go for the shortest wait times in the history of radio are right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So Coach AJ is here with us. What up, Coach AJ?
Hey, John. What's going on, man? Lance. And what's the other guy's name?
Dale.
All right. Haven't listened in a while, but I love to get involved with you guys with the sports. John, I haven't seen you since you was trying to hustle those grills on 59. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
Texas Grill Shop.
Texas Grill. Yeah. Did you come over and eat? Yeah.
No, I didn't eat because I was disappointed when I came over there. Y'all didn't have anything on the grill.
Well, you missed some great food, I can tell you that, because when Texas Grill Shop,
that was about three or four years. I think that was before the pandemic. I told you my son went to Duke and all that. Hey, Lance.
Yeah.
This your brother from another mother, man.
What's going on?
I just changed my alias.
You changed it. Hey, what was your former alias?
Jack. Remember Jack? Way back in the back.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, we've been around. I'd have to see you next time we have an event. You got to come out.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. When's the next time y'all doing something?
Well, we'll be actually tomorrow, Friday. Friday we're going to be at East River 9. Well, yeah. But that's East River 9 golf. It's a nine-hole par three out in Edo, and beautiful.
No, it was. Man,
beautiful spot. Is that considered Edo? No, that's
a...
It's third ward, isn't it, or fourth ward? What is it?
I think it's considered third ward. It's East River 9. Just put it in your phone.
Yeah, I think I need something a little bit more urban, you know, like down on West Harbor.
Yeah, this isn't super far away, but yeah, I got you. The next time maybe we go to Texas Card House is Westheimer.
Yeah, give me the next event, you know.
Well, we'll say it on the radio. Well, we don't know it. We don't know it until they tell
we'll
us.
We'll let you know we'll have it out there for you.
You already go to Knicks.
No, we haven't been there in a while.
It's been a minute since we've
Nick is just, he's a bad person.
Dude, they cut your budget, man. I can't go outside.
No, we can't. I'm doing remotes every show, actually.
Yeah, in L.A.
I know the truth.
Yeah, actually, the other shows are at a lot of places, but morning shows not as much.
Places open in the morning, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we can do it out in the parking lot, man.
We're not going to stay out in the parking lot in this humidity.
You know,
come on, Jack.
Coach, you called about Aaron Rodgers, and I'm looking at him on ESPN right now. Looks like you put on a little weight. He was skinnier last year with the Jets. Hey,
was he?
Yeah.
I don't really know.
Let me give you a comment about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
If his name was Roger Aarons, he'd be out of the NFL.
But if you had the background, I mean, if you had the pedigree, though, I mean, he's one.
I get it. If his name was Rodgers Aaron, now Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer. Yeah. You're going to have to give him a shot at it. But if his name was Roger Aarons, he wouldn't even. They'd be paying him just to suck wind.
Well, yeah, I mean, if he didn't, yeah, if he
does, he deserves the chance.
Well, the only reason he look, Pittsburgh's desperate, and he's got a tremendous. There's some plausible deniability, right? He missed 23 with the Achilles. 24 was not a good year, but then people try to look at the stats. I've heard people try to argue, wait a minute, if you look at the stats, dude, if you watch the game, Aaron Rodgers was not good. This is not the same Aaron Rodgers. So now Pittsburgh's like they're hoping and praying that Aaron Rodgers still has something left in the gas tank. But, you know, it's clearly the reason he gets that is because he gets that benefit of the doubt is well, because but, he's but, got a but, tremendous but,
wait.
Background.
But boy, I know that he wasn't good with the Jets last year. He was 28-11. Now, with the quarterback play in the NFL, when you're looking at some of the guys that are playing, he would not be out of the league. He simply would not. He was 63%.
He may have been 35.
He was 28-11.
Right.
He didn't affect winning last year with the New York Jets, but he certainly was good enough. Now, should there be this much publicity about him and all the talk and everything else? No, because he's not that Aaron Rodgers from a while ago. But he certainly can still play.
He can still play. But, I mean, his yards attempt were a career low at 6.78. I mean, a career low. It hasn't been even remotely close to that since 2015 when he was a 7.13. His touchdown, you know, this is a guy who has a low interception. You know, that was last year he was 26 and 12 interceptions in 2022. So, you know, he had a run from 2011 to 2021 where he never had double-digit interceptions. Yeah. Now he's had it two straight years in a row. Obviously, 23 doesn't count because he missed it. So, 22, he was 26 and 12. 24, he was 28 and 11. That's not the same Aaron Rodgers. That's not the same Aaron Rodgers. So, and actually, I take it back. His average yards of attempt was with Green Bay 6.78 in 22. And it was 6.78 last year. So this, when you really dig down into the numbers a little bit, it looks like Aaron Rodgers, this is a tail off. He trailed off for the Green Bay Packers at age 39. And look, it's 39. Then at 40, he had the Achilles. Then at 41, you're a 42-year-old this year who was coming off of Achilles 2 years ago.
He was in the middle of his prime in Green Bay in 2015. He was a 60% completion percentage, 6.7 yards, and 31-8. It's not much different than he was last year.
31-8, though.
28-11.
Yeah, but that was. I mean, you're picking. You're data dredging a little. What about the next year? Do the next year when he was
40-7.
40-7
But it's not like he hasn't had some ups and downs either. He has. He absolutely has had some ups and downs. In 2010, he was 28-11 as well. He was 65.7, a little bit. Bit better completion.
In 2015,
percentage.
You picked the worst year. Every year around that's great. Yeah. So you picked one year that was not a good year.
Again, he has had. He said it's not like it's a steady decline. Well, it is. He's not as good as he was. He's 41 years old.
That's right.
I mean, so
he's not going to be
going to be as good. No, but I totally disagree with Coach AJ that he wouldn't even be in the league right now if his name was something else. He was a serviceable quarterback last year. He's not a great quarterback that should be changing the league for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No.
But compared to what they have, Mason Rudolph, really? And Ohio State quarterback.
Will Howard.
Will Howard. Yeah. I mean, are you kidding me?
Skylar Thompson.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Come on.
It's awful. And the Steelers put themselves in this position. Once Big Ben was gone, they've been searching for Kenny Pickett. Yeah. Like this is what terrifies teams. Teams see what has happened with Cleveland for years and years and years with the Pittsburgh Steelers since Ben retired. They get terrified and they just say, "Frick it, give him $60 million. Give this guy that we know is not as good. Give Trevor Lawrence. Just give him anything he wants. We're too afraid of what will happen if we don't do it because." It is scary. If you don't look at what happened with the Colts. The Colts got buried because their quarterback retired. And then if you're too good to draft really early, you're screwed. And then if you draft early, it's a bad quarterback draft, and you draft a quarterback, you're screwed. I mean, I get it. It's tough. And that's why you kick the can down the road. I think the smart teams kick the can down the road as quick as long as they can until they can draft a quarterback they believe in. And you just hope that happens, that it aligns with your draft picks. But you never want to be bad. The only way to draft inside the top five is you got to suck. Yeah. Unless you have somebody's draft pick.
Yeah, but Lamar Jackson was the last pick. I mean, you can find think about outside the box a little bit. And Lamar Jackson's not even thinking outside the box. Goodness gracious, him lasting until the last pick of the first round is almost ridiculous.
Hindsight, it's easy to say that.
No, everyone but passed on him. He was an unbelievable talent.
He was an unbelievable talent, but a guy who ran that much was not part of the NFL. Not where. And the question was, can he throw the football? He was very skinny. He broke a lot of the molds. Now people, Jaden Daniels got drafted where he did because of Lamar Jackson. Because Jaden Daniels, thin limb guy who runs a lot. There's questions about injuries and all that stuff. But Lamar Jackson did. Baker Mayfield's success, I believe, as a rookie, helped Kyler Murray go first. Because you have less fear about it. Jared Goff succeeding out of an air raid offense and Pat Mahomes helped open up the doors for air raid guys. Because they were considered, you draft an air raid guy, they're going to suck. They don't make it in the NFL. So you have to have some guys break the mold a little bit also.
Yep, that's true. So we're in the AFC North right now. He wanted to talk. We didn't get to Trey Hendrickson.
Did he want to talk signed. Hendrickson?
He had that up there. Oh. Trey Hendrickson, not signed. Trey Hendrickson, not happy with the organization.
Basically, the Bengals the Bengals have said, we're going to the mattresses on these contracts. How about this? We're not giving in.
With he and Shamar Stewart. Listen to Shamar Stewart, rookie, unsigned, here is Shamar Stewart talking about the situation he's having with the Bengals.
Like some people say, we all agree Trey will be right? But technically still 1% wrong for being on the contract. So in my case, I'm 100% right. So it should be a no-brainer. And in Trey's case, I think it should be a no-brainer too. I mean, he led 17.5 sacks for 2 years back-to-back. If I was the GM or I was the owner, take all my money. But I guess they don't operate like that. But
he's like, it wasn't in there, but he said, you know, they don't act like they want to win.
Shamar Stewart just said it about his own
about
team?
About the Bengals. Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. Don't say that publicly before you.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Right.
He said they don't act like they want to win.
Like they want to win.
I mean, yeah, but still, they operate like a poor team.
Well, they
and they are. I mean, they are. Their family. This is how their family makes money, and so they're a cash poor team, and they operate like it. They have a reduced scouting staff. They do not operate like like most NFL teams. They're one of the. They might be the. I don't say cheapest, but most frugal.
Yeah.
And so they can't just I understand. They can't just give away contracts and not – they're trying to hold a line a little bit and have some wins contract-wise, which you have to. Every organization has to try to have that. However, I mean, then you should have traded Hendrickson. If you know you can't sign him – well, he is under contract. He is under contract, but I would probably deal him. You can get a first-round pick for him. I'd probably deal him. Now, it's easy for me to say. You have no pass rush. Your rookie's not signed. And you're the only guy who rushes the passer, who's a good one, you're trading. That's probably not the wisest business. And let me ask you, if you're that family, aren't you saying, hey, you're under contract? You know, we'll cross the bridge when you are outside of your contract. We'll handle it then. But you're under contract right now. Trey Hendrickson is under contract.
And he's going to be fine for it. But you know these guys. If I'm Trey Hendrickson, play out the contract and go to free agency and get out of there. I mean, get you know what? Play it all out and let's go and beat it. All right. I know you want another contract, but with the Bengals, why go somewhere that wants you and going to pay you big money? I am looking at Deshaun Watson. Threw himself an insane bachelor party in Miami over the weekend. Man, you want to talk about a commitment?
He is so on brand at all times.
None of this should be surprising beyond the whole stuff off the field. The man, as a quarterback, quit on his football team. When do quarterbacks quit on their football team? starting quarterbacks. He got paid and said, you know what, I don't want to be here anymore. That is that not clue enough to what the future would have foretold?
It really is. We looked at him as the good guy, and he did quit on the Texans. He got paid. It was almost like a setup where Mulgeta said, listen, take the money. And then, because guess what? He was crying. It was life-changing money. He was so happy. D-Hop had already been traded when that contract went. When he cried, and thanks to everyone who made this happen. Thanks to my high school, my junior high teachers and my junior high coaches and my high school. When he thanked everyone, we're like, man, Deshaun is such a good dude. Deshaun is such a good
dude.
He's
probably going to give it all to the cafeteria workers.
These cafeteria workers about to eat.
Do they have Instagram profiles?
Not the kind he likes.
Okay.
And they don't accept direct messages.
What kind of hands do they have?
Well, good for making mashed potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's what we thought. But here's the thing. D-Hop was already gone. So the argument that, man, they got rid of D-Hop, of course Deshaun wants to go. Deshaun signed a contract after D-Hop had been traded. It felt like a scam to get your money on the signing bonus on the front end. And then we're going to get you traded out of there and try to redo a new deal for you. I think Mulgeta played the ultimate.
Right, I think after it was the ultimate. He signed the deal. He said, "I'm not coming."
Yeah,
I
think it was. No. He played a year. He played that year. That next.
And
year.
Then
it was the next. Year.
He used the cover of not being.
He hadn't played a new. He hadn't played a year under the new contract.
He used the cover of not being involved in the what was the OC search or something.
Head coaching search
yeah. as a reason that why he wanted out.
Yeah.
And because the Texans were such a disaster. He got shot bail by defenders, and well, the Texans suck. He should have more influence. We all gave him a little bit mm-hmm. more credit than we should have because of how bad the Texans were operating. That well, why wouldn't they allow the quarterback to be in on it? But he quit on his team. He quit. The quarterback of your favorite team quit.
And how about he caused your guys? He caused a rift between. Deshaun even caused a rift between Miami that ended up having the head coach losing a power struggle because the head coach wanted Deshaun and hated Tua. You know who won that one? Chris Greer won that one, the general manager of the Dolphins, because Flores was ready to go to the mattresses for Deshaun Watson, and he hated Tua. And then he had a working relationship with Tua. He went all in on it, and then he had a relationship with Tua that was terrible because of it, and they had to get rid of him. Even though he was appeared to be a pretty good head coach, Flores.
All right, we got a break. Let's get back. We'll get back to Texans talk. We haven't talked about the Astros in a while. That was not great last night. We'll do that as well. But first, you got to talk about little Zadik Jewelers.
Yeah, Zadik Jewelers has a really cool, they have a really cool event coming up, and I'm excited about it. I'm going to stop in there. The Father's Day gifting, you got a lot of Father's Day gifts that you can get Dad there, the Mont Blanc cufflinks, the pens, and more. If you're looking for watches, they've got tremendous watch brands such as Omega, Breitling, Tudor, IWC, everything that you can imagine. While you're there, maybe you're looking for something for Dad. Maybe you want to just bring your own timepiece in and you want to buy, sell, or trade. They're doing that for you as well. Zadik Jewelers is family-owned, which is very important to me. They're Houston proud. And they got a really cool event coming up in a couple days, June 13th and 14th. It's coming up this weekend. They've got Dads and Dogs. This Father's Day, treat the man of the hour and his loyal companion. You can head to Dads and Dogs at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard in the Zadik location to a special in-store event where pups get a treat while you shop for refined gifts for Dad. So bring your pup in there, get him a treat. Maybe you get a pup cup. I don't know what you're going to get. I just know your dog's getting a hookup, and you got a chance to get your dad the hookup with great selection of gifts that Dad is going to love from Zadik Jewelers. It's not just for Mother's Day. It's for Father's Day as well. Zadik.com, 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. Bring your pup in this weekend to Zadik Jewelers for Dads and Dogs.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We want you all to come out to East River 9. We're on the website right now, poweronbikes.com, and looking at all the different stuff. A $4,000-plus value we're giving away.
Yeah, a pair of bikes.
Electric bikes.
Mm-hmm. Pair of e-bikes.
I'm looking at their e-bikes. I mean, e-bikes are when you're committed to getting somewhere at a good speed with the least amount of effort.
Yeah.
Or you actually can turn them down lower and you just pedal it like a bicycle regular. You know, there's different powers for some of them where you pedal. It just kind of helps you along if you want. I'm looking at maybe getting one of these things. I mean, unless they want to give me one at East River 9 if I hit a hole-in-one. Maybe if you hit a hole-in-one, will they give you one?
No.
I mean, on the honor system, you have to say,
really,
hey, I had
part
one.
Part of the whole deal. But, okay. But you can go and try to get a hole-in-one. That'd be great. That'd be great.
Yeah.
I must be on the wrong site because that's all I got is just that's the only page I can go to, right?
Yeah, it's poweronbikes.com.
Poweronbikes.com.
Oh, I'm sorry, poweronebikes.com.
On e-bikes, that's it.
Yeah, power on e-bikes, that's a pretty big
power
difference.
Poweronebikes.com. Now, that's a different deal right there. Poweronebikes.com. Poweronebikes.com. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here. Astros lose last night. You're a little bit worried about Burke tonight.
Well, Burke's been really good his last three outings. The pitcher for...
Yeah, but what about Ryan Gusto?
He hasn't been as good in his last three outings.
Okay, all right.
I think this is going to be a tough matchup because if you look at Sean Burke, the pitcher who's going tonight for the White Sox, he was struggling. You know, you look at just the numbers and you think, he's not that great. But the difference is that Sean Burke, he's 3-6 with a 4.03. Ryan Gusto's 3-3 at the 4.78. Gusto's whip is a 1.64. Burke's is a 1.39. But, you know, when you factor in the last, you know, May 11th, May 17th, Burke went four innings, gave up four hits, one run. But he had five walks and two strikeouts. Then against the Cubs on May 17th, he had 4 2/3 innings, gave up five earned runs, gave up seven hits, five walks, four strikeouts. But then something clicked because by May 23rd, now he's taken on Texas, Baltimore, and Detroit. So some good, not so good, a lot average. But he's been good the last three starts, and he figured out the walk issues. His last two starts, he's gone 13 innings, given up 12 hits, four runs, two walks, and 11 strikeouts. So it's kind of coming around for him a little bit, and it makes me nervous because Gusto never puts together like, man, Gusto had that. Like Walter the other day, the strong performance he had out of nowhere, he doesn't really have any out-of-nowhere performances, Ryan Gusto. It's pretty much just like,
Yeah, it hasn't been great. It just hasn't been great. You know what? I got the Astros tonight. They're going to bounce back from this White Sox loss last night. They've lost two straight now, 4-2 games, but they've been a much better home team. They're going to overcome. They will overcome the greatness that is this White Sox team. Granted.
Oh, my God. Look at this. When Ryan Gusto gets in a game, they've lost six straight games.
Yeah.
Whether he's starting or relief. Since May, he's lost every game. Now, before, there's a bunch of greens. But more times than not, it's a bunch of red L's when he gets the game. Woo, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So four times that he's gotten in a game, they've had W's. And sometimes you're getting in games where they're winning. But 10 times, when he hits the mound, there's a good chance you're going to lose.
Well, yeah, that's a bad trend. When Ryan Gusto is in the game, you will lose the game. That's a bad trend. Ryan Gusto and Colton Gordon should not be yet on the major league level.
Oh, no.
They shouldn't be. They wouldn't be if it wasn't for all of the injuries. And they're put into a really difficult situation. So, you know what? You hope that he gives up four. And that you score five.
Look, Ryan Gusto's a 26-year-old who just made it to the bigs. Doesn't look like he has great stuff. More hits than innings pitched. His strikeout to walk ratios just a little bit better than 2-1, which is not what you're looking for. It's not great. This is not a starting pitcher on a major league level. Yeah, you're right. So I'm a little bit concerned about this. Now the White Sox have been trash on the road, but they were trash on the road when they beat you 4-2. And I'm just here to tell you, you have a not very good pitcher on the mound for you and a guy that's pitched a lot better on the mound for them. So maybe a lot of runs scored today. We'll see.
It appears that there could be, although Burke has been pretty good, so we'll see. The Astros, though, at home should be able to hit and should be hitting him. 713-780-3776. We talked a little basketball earlier. Let's talk Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, let's talk some Stephen A. Smith.
Pardon me?
Let's talk some Stephen A. Smith.
Well, he had an interesting I don't know why they got – oh, because of KD. It was because of KD, and they were talking about KD. Apparently, the Spurs, you know, are showing some interest, and that's a possibility that KD goes to the Spurs. Okay, whatevs. I don't know that the Spurs are ready to win anytime soon. The Rockets were the number two seed in the West. But Stephen A. had this to say. Interesting take on Jalen Green. See what you think.
It's not audio.
Oh, it's not
I just
audio.
It's a quote there, though.
Okay. I thought you had an audio of it. Stephen A. had this to say about
scroll down on the rundown. It's there.
No, I know. I've got it there, but my blocker's down.
Here's what he said.
Go ahead, tell us what he said.
Look what is happening around you. Just in the state of Texas alone. The Mavs are coming back. I don't know about that. The San Antonio Spurs can improve. It is about Jalen Green. The brother is young and ultra-talented, but Molly, he seems a bit distracted, okay? What could that mean? You haven't seen a focus on this game where he has gotten exponentially better. There are four games against the Warriors where he scored in single digits. With that talent, single digits, really? Jalen Green is
true.
Yeah,
it's true. Single digits thing hurts.
I don't feel like he's distracted. I see him working. I think his game has gotten better on the whole. Now the shooting percentages haven't gotten better. You don't think Jalen's become a better? I think Jalen's gotten to be a better 3-point shooter. His shooting has gotten better.
His
over
issue
time.
Is exponentially. There's not this giant growth.
I think his defense is exponentially better. I think his accountability. I think his on court demeanor is better. I think there's a lot of things that have improved. Stephen A. Smith doesn't see Jalen Green on a regular basis like we do. Now, if you look at the stats, yeah, I could see where you'd say it's not exponentially better. The shooting percentage is about the same as it was. He's always been able to score. The appearances, there's not a lot. Now, you know, what he said about the scoring against Golden State, I don't disagree with that. I think that's a little unfair to Jalen Green, though. I think all of us who've watched see a different Jalen Green than we used to see. Is it the Jalen Green that we want? No. Has he taken a giant leap forward like Şengün has? No. But he's good. He's a good player, but he's not a great player. And I think there's real questions. But do you think he's distracted? Like, he's saying distracted. You know, I don't think his girlfriend, I don't know if they're still together or not. Dre and Michelle, I mean, I don't know. Somebody said they unfollowed each other. I don't even know. I don't keep up with that drama, but I don't think that's having a baby, having Dre and Michelle. I don't feel like he's taking some drop off. I don't feel like he's distracted. I see his Instagram videos of him lifting weights. So clearly he's working hard. He wouldn't put stuff on Instagram if it wasn't true.
Okay? No, I
agree.
Yeah.
Instagram weightlifting is a sign of somebody working hard.
Mm-hmm.
It just is. Ask the influencers. When Abigail would do her Instagram influencing as a what are they called? They're fitness influencers.
Sure.
That's real. That stuff's real out there.
Yeah. You know. So posing for pictures and videos is real. Yes, you're right.
Or when they set up their phones in the gym and then they get mad because somebody walks to a machine and they say, "Hey, I've got a shot over here. I can't tell you how much I'm hoping the other person comes back with some type of barbell and smashes them."
Well, there's an
hey, you just got in my shot. Like,
where there's a social media gym influencer who calls this out. I think he goes by the name like
Joey Swole.
Joey Swole.
Seen him.
Yes, he takes these people to task. The gym is not for you. The gym is for everyone. If you're filming, you have to work around them because the gym is for working out.
But John, how do you think John feels about what about the people, John, who call out influencers for wearing kind of, you know, showy revealing clothes?
Yeah.
Do you think they're maybe stepping outside of their lane? Or do you agree with the people who are saying, "Hey, you don't need to dress like that"? Or do you think maybe they're stepping out of their lane and maybe they need to work?
It's none of their business.
Yeah, yeah.
None of their business. It is disturbing, though, sometimes when I see people who shouldn't be wearing revealing clothes wear revealing clothes. You know, that's disturbing, I think.
Judge Granato's here. I'm going to have to place that young lady in custody
for what?
Cuffs.
For what, Your Honor?
Inappropriate clothing.
Yes.
She does not meet the criteria
Honor,
for wearing that.
The woman standing right next to her is wearing the same type of clothing. Why are you arresting her?
I'll tell you why. Both of you.
Because that's
spin
appropriate
around.
Clothing.
Wait a
Both
minute.
Of you spin around.
There's who's, inappropriate clothing and there's appropriate
clothing. Who's
Jess
Granato again? Which one is Jess Granato?
I just put it this way. You don't want to be in Judge Granato's court. Some lawyers will say, oh, we got a favorable judge. It's Judge Granato. And other people will say, we've got to try to get him moved out of this court.
Depends on what you look like. If it's a favorable, if it's favorable in my court.
That is apparently the case.
That's right.
So the attire matters less. It's just about who's wearing the attire.
That's exactly what it is.
Ma'am, you walked into that gym without a pump cover on. Go with the bailiff.
Yeah.
You're free to go.
Yeah.
I'm just going to Google gym.
Not only that, but.
Fitness influencers.
But there should be reparations.
From who? The person.
From the state.
Okay.
Did you say reparations?
We owe you an apology.
For even wasting your time.
Yeah, wasting your time. And we can buy you more clothes.
Or of that clothes. Variety.
Right, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
There's
what,
Joey Small.
What we need to talk about right now is HRP. Matter of fact, I had a nice conversation yesterday about HRP with people who use HRP. Like Chad Clay uses HRP, right? Chuck Watson uses HRP. The Orleans Seafood uses HRP. It's BB's uses HRP. HRP. It is awesome. It's, you know what? And those people love what HRP does for them. You're trying to do something that you just don't know what you're doing. You're trying to do payroll. You're trying to do your taxes. You're trying to do HR. You don't know. You're trying to pick out the right benefits packages, the right insurance packages. I mean, honestly, why are you doing these things? That's not your business. You know what? Mind your own business. I think that's probably appropriate here. Mind your...
And let HRP mind their business.
That's right.
That's right.
It's what we... That's what they do. All right? They're going to mind your business as well. And they're going to do it way better than you do it. So stop if you're doing it, or if you're not completely satisfied with the admin company that you have right now because you feel like maybe this is a little bit more expensive than it should be. Why don't you find out what HRP is all about? HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Okay, so we just watched a great tennis match. We have seen baseball greatness. Who is, in what sport, the most dominant athlete right now?
Man, this competition in tennis, women's tennis, men's tennis, UFC, I don't think we've got that.
Well, some would say
Harrison. I mean, it's had to be Scottie Scheffler, right?
Well,
Kayla Harrison's good.
Some would say.
But she's got to face Amanda Nunes next.
He has to win a cup.
Amanda Nunes is she's about to face the real one.
That will be.
Yeah, it's going to be a fist fight.
Yeah. Who's dominating their sport more than anyone else right now?
Is it Scottie Scheffler? Are you leading us into a golf conversation?
Well, it's team sport, but I would say he has to win the cup for people to stamp him, but Connor McDavid.
Yeah, but he's down 2-1.
I said he has to win the cup, but as an individual player?
He is. Man, I don't watch a lot of hockey, and I saw highlights of him the other day with his puck handling. And I'm like, what?
When they did the skills challenge before at the All-Star game, they did a skills challenge instead of this year. They did the.
Yeah, he is sick. And I want to see Bedard, who was drafted and is supposed to be the next.
Yeah, but he's not.
Great player. Oh, his numbers already look pretty good for early in his career. By the way, you may not know this, but there's a soccer player right now who many think is going to be up there with Ronaldo, Lamine Yamal. With Ronaldo and Messi, he is like 19.
From Spain.
Yeah, from Spain. And he is the truth.
Yep.
We saw him 2 years ago when he was 17, and he was incredible. So, yeah, he's somebody to watch in World Cup because he's going to be a guy that many people think he's going to be.
Many people believe
he's going to be one of the greats of all time in that sport. Yeah. But I would say Scheffler.
I think it's Scottie Scheffler. So there's a list here, and they don't have Connor McDavid in it. It's Scottie Scheffler's one.
Shohei Ohtani.
Aaron Judge's two.
Oh, yep.
Shohei's three. Mm-hmm. Carlos Alcaraz is four.
See, he's not even number one, though. Center is like, I don't know that I could put Alcaraz there.
Aja Wilson is five.
Yep.
Yannick Sinner is six.
Okay.
Nikola Jokic is seven.
Yeah.
Miles Garrett is eight. Justin Jefferson is nine. And Paul Skeens is 10.
It's pretty good. You could make an argument that Skeens doesn't have enough wins, but the way he pitches is dominant. But is he better than Tarek Skubal? I mean, you draft Skeens ahead of Skubal, but Skubal just, yeah. I mean, is there that
he's
much
He's not
of a,
dominating his sport. He's not head and shoulders. No, he and Skubal are about.
Yeah, that's why I think that. Yeah. The same thing with Miles Garrett, and you also have, I mean, Miles has been great, but you have Micah Parsons also, and T.J. Watt, and I think it's, I don't know that he's dominant. Like Aaron Judge and Shohei are on different planets than other people, generally speaking, year after year. You could look at PCA, and you look at some of the guys who are playing really, really good right now, but they don't. But Ohtani and Aaron Judge play like this every single year. Like, they are head and shoulders above other guys. I don't – Miles Garrett, T.J. Watt does this every year. Micah Parsons does this pretty much every year. Justin Jefferson, yeah, I mean, I'll give you Justin Jefferson, but there's other great wide receivers too. Ja'Marr Chase. Is Justin Jefferson, he's better than Ja'Marr Chase statistically, but.
Yeah, I don't know that he's that much better. Right?
I don't either. Scottie Scheffler's clearly better than he's playing against a ton of guys every single week. And even if you say most of those guys don't have a chance, he's going to play against 12 guys who have a legitimate chance every match. Well, that's not true because Liv has taken some of that away. Would we be calling Scottie Scheffler this dominant if he had to face the LIV golfers, if they were all together in one boat?
That would be a different story. But he's still winning majors.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's the whole key, is playing those guys in majors.
Yeah, right. You know, Connor McDavid scores over 100 points every year, except one in his career. But he's not up there. Kucherov was the top point getter. And he had way more than Connor McDavid, 21 points more.
Sorry. Every time I hear a conversation, he's the best player in the world as far as that game. Points, no aside, one, point, yeah. Points, whatever it is. When they talk about that sport, his team is really good.
He leads them to the right.
It's two straight Stanley Cup finals. We'll see if they can overcome Florida, who beat them like a drum in their last game. But you watch him play, I don't think anyone in the sport says there's a better player.
You know, there's Islam Makhachev in the UFC is pretty much. Like, Khabib was untouchable when he was – those guys from Dagestan are pretty much untouchable. And Islam Makhachev right now, he's 27-1 career. He might be in that conversation as well because he just really – he is really, really tough to beat. He's the number one. He's a welterweight. He's considered number one and pound for pound. I would probably put him on that list ahead of some of the guys that are being mentioned right now. Like, he is – not to be trifled with.
Is he that much more dominant than
he is dominant. Yeah. Yeah. He is more dominant than some of the guys on that list.
Yeah. Because Paul Skeens isn't that much better than Tarek Skubal. And Jefferson, it's arguable that he is better than Ja'Marr Chase.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Now, he's had some not great quarterbacks thrown to him. That's pretty impressive when you think about he's had Sam Darnold and Kirk Cousins. These aren't, you know, Joe Burrow's been throwing to Ja'Marr Chase. He's had, I mean, he does this with whoever, anybody, anytime, is what he's doing.
All right, 713-780-3776 to hang out with us here. We'll get back to the Texans and minicamp right after this on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, we're talking about Chastain Ford. I'm talking about what I think is the best dealership in the city of Houston, where I buy my vehicles. And the Ford vehicle is, I mean, I think it's fantastic. I think the F-150 is fantastic. My Lightning, I love it. I think it's the best vehicle I've ever owned. I would take it over every other vehicle that I've ever had in my life, and I've had a few of them. I've bought four vehicles from Chastain Ford, and I will continue to buy my vehicles from Chastain Ford because I know this. I know I'm always going to get a square deal. I know I'm always going to get honesty. I know I'm going to get transparency. I know they're not going to try to mark up on me. I know that they're going to give me a deal where they're worried about where my payments are as opposed to getting as much money from me as they possibly can. That's the kind of dealership you want to do. Listen, the car business has got plenty of shade. There is plenty of shade out there. You don't stay in business for over 80 years in the city of Houston unless you do it right, and the Chastains do it right and have been doing it right forever. So you're looking for the best way to get into that Ford car or truck. You got employee pricing going on right now, which means you're going to get the best deal, but you're also not going to get marked up and added on, okay? That price that they tell you is the price that you're going to pay. At ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. We got D'Amico talking. This is interesting. Cade Stover and Kalen Bullock.
They love Cade Stover.
And I just saw HOU Football put out an article about Cade Stover and watching him practice and whatnot. And so it'll be interesting to see, is Cade Stover going to take over for Dalton Schultz?
I say yes.
This year?
I think they'll be on a similar level. He's a better blocker. He's a better athlete. This should be the year he takes a big step forward.
Dalton Schultz had some questionable blocking.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, takeover maybe a little bit strong, but I mean, it's an Ohio State guy that CJ played with. So I'm sure they have a little vibe together. I don't know. It could be the year. That's a big jump to go from where he's been to take over for Dalton Schultz. Dalton gets a lot of catches, but, man, is he not a blocker.
Here is D'Amico talking about those two going into their second year.
Cade Stover, he's a guy who I think has grown his time, and just on one small detail for him is just, you know, his separation at the top of the routes. So seeing Cade, a second-year player, take the steps to get better at the one thing, just his route definition at the top of his route, and seeing him make play after play, like that's what excites me about the offseason. That's why I think it's really important, these 8-9 weeks that we have with the players, if you attack it with the right mindset, you can actually get better, enhance your game. And you don't see as big of a jump in a lot of guys, or really is that first and second year. That's where you see a jump, and that's where I think Cade Stover is taking a jump, and also Kalen Bullock. Kalen has done an outstanding job, you know, this offseason of, you know, we know Kalen for tracking the football, making interceptions, but the thing that I'm very pleased with the way Coach Adegoke has worked with him just on his tracking, putting himself in really good body position to make tackles. We're not tackling or being physical, but he's doing those small things that's going to set him up to make those tackles when we put the pads on. So those small highlights are really huge for me, and we have multiple guys who are getting really getting a lot better in their craft.
I love those answers. Like, he gave you real football answers right there. He talked about separation of at the top of the route. He talked about body control and tracking with Caden. But, like, those are real. That's not coach speak. He's telling you, oh, you want to know what I like about this? This is what I like, his ability to separate at the top of the route. And, you know, to do that, that's route acumen. That's the ability to plant and cut sharply at an angle. It could be the ability to really sink his hips. You know, it's technique. Technique is how you get separation at the top of the route and burst. You got some of it's physical, obviously, but some of it's technique. And what he's telling you is he worked on his craft. And I love that he gave you a real football answer right there. He didn't try to, you know, he didn't coach speak us, which I was actually a little bit worried D'Amico, when he first started, was going to be a little bit of a coach speaker. But that was a real football answer.
So
man, that's great.
So what did you? Okay, so you studied Kate Stover. He's been not long ago,
right?
Okay, so at the top of the route, his making his is it not planting? Is not planting? Is it not the top of his route is where he tries to lose his defender?
Yeah. So you know, to give you an idea how
did
that gets better.
Did he do that in college?
Well,
how did he
let me see what let me see what I wrote on this one, because he was really a 1 year tight end. He was a one year athlete over there. I said catch first, block second, tight end whose jump and play as a receiving threat is going to be hard to ignore. So it was 1 year that he made that jump. He's a tight end conversion from the defensive side of the ball. So he was a D end who became a tight end. He's a little clunky getting off the line, but really picks up the pace as right unfolds. He started in high school as a hooper and has that same athleticism that can be found in his route running, high point timing and run after catch. On his weaknesses, it needs to improve, needs to maintain top speed in the seam when searching for the throws. I didn't have a lot of weaknesses on him, so I don't talk about it. I said he's an upside projection with the potential to play inline or flexed out and should become a productive starter within a couple years. I don't have anything about his route running in here really per se. I just remember him being a really good athlete. Like, you can see, man, that guy can run. He can separate. He ran a 4.65 40 at the combine, a 1.59 split. That's a fast 10-yard split. That means he's got the ability to get going. His vertical leap was good for his size. But here's the thing. So when they talk about separation at the top of the route, so route running is teachable. It's correctable. Whenever I see somebody who doesn't run or good, I remember taking a shot at Tyreek Hill because he wasn't a good route runner. How dumb. What a learning experience that was for me. Like, routes can be taught. That's just technique. That's just, you know, sinking your hips. That's planning at a sharper, you know, it maybe is not giving away your route where you start leaning a little bit towards the turn, and a cornerback can read that. So with him getting separation, it might be staying square. And it also might be bursting out of when he plants his right foot to cut left, you know, really focusing on getting low and bursting out of that. It could be using his hands to get a little bit of a separation, a physical separation, a little bit of, you know, getting physical at the top of the route. You may call it a push off. I call it getting physical at the top of the route. It could also be setting up the route with leverage. So in other words, if you know you're going to break left, let's just say you know you're going to break right and you're in the right slot. It could be starting to drive and veer a little bit left
so that you, yeah.
So that you create leverage.
Yeah.
It's leveraging her out. So it's all these little things that you learn. Some guys just don't know it in college. You're not asked to really get, you know, to fine-tune. College coaches sometimes aren't teaching as much technique, and some of it is because they just don't, like, I think they like teaching technique, but sometimes there's coaches, they just don't have the time to teach as much technique. If you're at Ohio State, you have advantages all over the field. So, you know, sometimes – now, I say that. Jackson Smith and Jigba, really good route runner. Marvin Harrison Jr., really good route runner. What's his name who got drafted this year? Who was the other? Oh, Amike Egbuka, really good route runner. So those guys are like – they're coming out of Ohio State, and they're really, I mean, really good route runners. The tight ends have been just guys who could block a little bit. They're usually offset some. But this is a guy, Cade Stover, I remember, you know, and – I'll tell you something off the air, but Cade Stover is a player I thought was a come-up player, and he got picked in the fourth round. I think he's going to take a big step this year. He's a good athlete. He's tough. He'll get better as a blocker. Dalton Schultz doesn't have any interest in blocking. He's told us that for a year. I believe him.
Yeah.
I believe him. You've told us you don't like blocking. I totally believe you now, Dalton. Good wide receiver, not going to block very hard. And it's crazy. When I read his – I had him as a little bit of a blocker coming out, but he just, you know – Chase Claypool was a great blocker coming out. He decided he didn't want to block anymore once he got to the pros as a wide receiver.
So how is Kalen Bullock going to get on the field? You got CJ, CD, you got Ward, you got Petrie, you got Bullock. I mean,
what do you mean? Bullock starts a free safety and that's that. How are those other guys going to get on the field? Now, he doesn't tackle well.
I love them some Jimmy Ward.
Dude, he takes the ball away. Jimmy Ward's always hurt.
Well, Jimmy
can't play high safety.
They love – you think C.J. Gardner-Johnson is talking now? If he ain't on the field?
Yeah, but he's – no, that's true. That's what concerns me about him. But I don't know how they're going to handle him because Bullock's got to play. Gardner Johnson is not typically a high free safety. You know, you can play him actually all over the place. Jimmy Ward is more limited. Kalen Bullock, I don't know. It's going to be interesting because Kalen Bullock is not a great tackler, but he's a ball hawk. He takes the ball away. But maybe, you know what? Maybe he does come down. He comes in on sub packages. Maybe they do that a little bit more where they go, you know what? You're coming in on second and third down. We want to be a little better against the run on first down, so we're not going to feature you as much on first down. Maybe they do that.
Is their dime package the two corners, Lassiter and Stingley, and then those four safeties?
I think it's three corners, three safeties. Well, so it'll be Bullock, Ward, Seedy. Then you have Lassiter, Petrie, and Stingley.
Also, Petrie, you're counting as a corner.
Yeah, but he'll slide into – he'll. Hey, Siri, I wasn't talking to you.
Okay.
God, I hate Siri.
Wow. Siri, does Lance hate you?
Siri, do I hate
Sorry,
you?
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
Sure. Do I hate you? Do I call you bad words and sometimes... No, I'm not going to say
it. Never mind.
I'm not going to say it. I almost told on myself.
Yeah.
I call her a really bad word sometimes. I hate Siri. I think that she doesn't help at all.
Do you often use those words with women?
No. Oh. I save it for Siri.
Oh, you save it for one woman.
Well,
I save it for
is
Siri.
Siri really a woman?
Gave her a woman's
hey,
voice.
Hey, the new iOS.
Are you sure that's a woman's voice?
Sounds like it
Why
to me.
Why are you?
Siri, Sarah.
You want to accuse me
why
of misgendering?
Are you assuming that Siri is a woman's
Look,
voice?
The word you're looking for is why are you misgendering Siri? If you yeah. want me, if you want to do that, that's fine. I'm going to assume she's a woman. If I'm wrong, fine.
Oh wow,
I'm,
just, I guess
I'm
it's
good.
All about you.
I'm good with
and
being
not Siri's and her. She
right,
uses her own pronouns.
Hey Siri, are you a woman?
Animals and French nouns have genders.
This is
she does not.
She does not have genders. Oh.
She's genderless.
Siri, why do you have a woman's voice?
Sorry, I don't understand.
You understand. Why do you have a woman's voice, Siri? Answer the question, Siri.
There's nobody calling right now. Let me know if you want
to. See, she's stupid. I mean, she doesn't understand. I'm asking real questions. There's nobody calling right now. I didn't say there's anyone calling. I said answer the question.
So
she is the dumbest.
You know, there. Are
I'm
some
telling
Siri,
you right now.
My daughter
I hate
Siri
this.
is a male voice.
Maybe they're trying to appeal.
Well,
maybe it's a sex appeal.
You can make the choice,
your
right?
Siri voice. Right?
Yeah, you can make a choice.
Huh?
Hey, Steph.
You can make a choice. So
which daughter?
Frankie.
Hey, Frankie. What's up, girl? Does he talk like that? Siri?
Does her Siri say, hey, girl, what you up to?
Yeah. Hey, girl.
Man.
No, I ain't going to do that.
What those fingers doing?
When you're typing,
Dell.
That's a joke you can make when it's not your partner's daughter.
When it's not.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, say it. Anybody can get it with the male Siri.
Yeah. Right.
But for you, you can make that joke when it's
Hi,
not.
Hi, Dell. Yeah. Have you found any companionship for tonight?
Why are you being so nosy, Siri?
there's clubs that can help. How about Heartbreakers?
Now I got a neighbor. I don't need no club.
How
I go
old
back
is
to
she?
OnlyFans?
How old is she?
Would you like for me to find you cam girls?
No.
Another?
How come you knew that one girl who used to work at Prime? Who was a cam girl?
Because I'm a child of the internet. I know all.
Wow.
You're too nosy, Dell.
No, well, you're asking a lot of questions, so maybe you're too nosy.
Maybe she's going to sue you. And how would she go about suing you?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell her this number. I'll wait for a second. Hey, guys, it's me, Lance Erline, talking about John Daspit, the personal injury lawyer of the city of Houston. I call him the official one. There's lots of them. Yeah, but the difference is there's not a lot of them who are going to work for you the way that John Daspit and his law firm works for you. Most of these guys are out there throwing flamethrowers on people or hitting people with hammers or throwing rocks on you, and they're going to show you how badass they are. John Daspit says, yeah, you guys do those commercials. I'm going to hire more lawyers so that we can have lawyers who have small workloads so that they can really spend time on your case to get you the best results. And that's making sure that when you've been injured offshore, refinery blast, on the roadways, Could be a slip and fall somewhere. Could be negligence of security where you have property loss, property damage. There's really train accidents. There's a lot of things, and you can go find them at DaspitLaw.com in the areas of practice. But they're going to make sure no money comes out of your pocket. They're going to make sure all the bills are taken care of. If you miss time due to work, short-term, long-term, that's going to get taken care of. And you are going to find a strong result and favorable result when it comes to your pain and suffering if you have suffered through an injury. So make sure that John Daspit's the first call you make before you even talk to the other side. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW or go to DaspitLaw.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to Ramp.com and love finance again.